Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and I just want to thank you for joining the Dr. Drew podcast and supporting the Corolla Pirate Ship here at the Corolla Network. And please, just a reminder, tell a friend about these podcasts. That is how this thing grows organically, and that is how we want this to grow. We want it to be a community of people that connect, and we talk about interesting things. And by the way, feel free to give us feedback and stuff, particularly for my show, that you'd like to hear. We'll be happy to set it up on the program. And again, tell a friend and keep this pirate ship afloat.
This is Corolla Digital.
Hey, buddy, this is Dr. Drew. Just a reminder, this podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. They are the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, more than 100,000 downloadable titles, all types of literature featuring audio versions of many of the New York Times bestsellers. For our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook. You cannot beat that. Just all you do is give a chance to their service. Why not? One audiobook to consider, perhaps Adam's books. Not Taco Bell material. You can download that, listen to it, and believe in Adam's own words. Yes, Adam's own voice you'll hear. Maybe that'll deter you from doing it. I'm just saying. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/Drew. That is audiblepodcast.com/Drew. Expand your brain, everybody. And now I want to tell you a little something about how we're going to be conducting these podcasts next few weeks. We're going to knock it down to one a week. I've just come through a big medical issue. I had a big surgery, and I'll be talking about it one of these days publicly. And it really prevents me from doing too much. We'll be doing the Adam and Drew shows, but doing two, maybe jacking those up to three very soon. And I promise you I will be back out there on the podcast circuit more vigorously in a few weeks. But just FYI, we'll be putting the podcast out on Monday. And before now we get on to the great Fred Stoller, I want to talk to you about Hulu Plus. That's right. You've tried streaming shows on PC with Hulu, but now it is time to get a free trial, free once again, you guys, of exclusive content right there on your mobile devices with Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus, you get complete control of thousands of shows whenever you want, wherever you want, and there's unique availability on Hulu Plus. You can get the entire season of Modern Family, current season of New Girl. The new episodes air the day after they air on television. My son is obsessed with this stuff. I found him the other night watching Hulu Plus, New Girl, at like 2 in the morning. I think he's got a thing for Zoe. I'm just saying. Okay, so use Hulu Plus on TVs, TV game souls, Blu-ray players, Roku, Apple TV, PC. Watch from anywhere on your smartphone or tablet. It's on demand at all times. You can binge on entire seasons. Entire seasons. Try it for free. If you like it, it is only $7.99 per month at HuluPlus.com. Again, right now they're offering an extended free trial of Hulu Plus, only available to our podcast listeners. Take control of the TV watching experience. Go to HuluPlus.com/Drew for your extended free trial, or just go to DrDrew.com and click the Hulu Plus banner. Again, for the extended free trial, go to HuluPlus.com/Drew or DrDrew.com and click the Hulu Plus banner. It is a great deal. I recommend you do it now. And now let's get on to the great Fred Stoller. Welcome to the Dr. Drew Podcast. Just a reminder to support the people that support our show and to, of course, click through at the Amazon banner to support the Corolla Pirate Ship. You can support it further by getting The Boy with the Gun by Brandon Stogsdale on my website at drdrew.com or even the Swingin' Sounds that you're listening to right now. But more importantly, back by popular demand, and I mean demand,
wow.
Fred Stoller, the book is Maybe We'll Have You Back.
And I was back.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm
wow.
going to have your book. Your new book is I'll Have You Back, Please.
Wow.
And not only will I, but of course, Fred's website is Fred Stoller, STOLLER.net, and Twitter, Fred_Stoller. I was telling you before that we heated the mics up that people often like guests I have, and like I had Tom Sizemore recently, and people said, God, I loved him. He's so awesome. It was so touching what he said. And the comments about you were, love Fred, get him back, need more.
Wow.
Need more Fred.
Being the negative guy, I could only go down, I could ruin it. Like you get high because people go, I love you on Dr. Drew. Then friends go, I like the first time better. Let's examine what was different. Yeah, that always happens. So I'm almost, you know, like the Billy Crystal thing, you pushed it.
You pushed it. You shouldn't, it's like you jumped the shark by coming back.
It's like, but, you know, there's... Well, to tell you honestly, I was on eval, meaning they asked your availability for a sitcom, and I thought I was going to work this week. Then they said, oh, you're released. And I was actually relieved because I'd almost rather do this for no money than you would ever. I don't know. I was more excited about this.
Well, first, I'm honored that you say that. But secondly, it's freeing podcasts. There's something sort of, you know what I mean? As somebody who likes to talk to people in audiences, there's something very freeing about this.
Honest, I'd love to work, but a sitcom is 10 minutes to run through. Fred, do your flip like a monkey and walk over and, you know, walking on eggshells. Yeah.
So quickly tell people who perhaps missed the first podcast, they can certainly go back. What episode was the podcast there? Well, please, they're going to get me that in a second. But tell them about the book first, just in case they didn't hear.
Well, basically, I have this book called Maybe We'll Have You Back. It's called that because I'm a perennial TV guest star. I've never been a regular. I've been on like 70 guest spots. And you always hope they say that because I'm like a nomad looking for a home in show business and life. And you just want any hope. And as I said, it could be the worst tween show where a dog peed on me and I took my shirt off. But you still, even if you hated it, you still want someone to go, we may have you back, the desperation. And I have been back a lot. So it's just, you know, I'm always the schmucky guy. I mean, my story is I've had auditions where they go, not so pathetic, and I was being myself. So I've just learned to – I'm the go-to schmucky pathetic guy. So I wrote the book about all the adventures, who's been nice on different shows, who was a jerk. Bless you. You know, which ones let you have a toilet. And so to refresh them, I have this book where I give my background to show why I'm a nervous guy, why I'm always
the
schmuck.
Let's talk about that. Why are you a nervous guy? If I was episode 69, you can hear his other podcast.
I get self-conscious because, oh, blame your mother. You're 50, whatever now. But, you know, I'm not blaming. I'm just saying this is what happened. And I thought I was doing it in a comedic way, but I was, you know, a mother that all my life saying it's almost over. How many years left do I have? She said. I found out weirdest stuff in Florida where I just visited for a weird
– Now, let me frame this by saying you and I called your mom, and we're going to maybe try to call her again today.
Sure.
And she was a lovely woman, which is something that bothers you even more.
Well, I used to do a joke. My people may be too young, but she's like Mr. Ed. Remember Mr. Ed would only talk for Wilbur? My mother would only be a crazy person for me. And then she's sweet, Fred, and you want validation. Like I tape phone calls with her. My friend Joel, maybe you could call him sometime. He's seen her say the crazy, mean
She copped to that when we called her.
Yeah, but I'm saying she seems charming now.
No, but she copped to being too tough and too negative. I heard her say stuff like that.
Yes, she did it growing up. I don't know what it is, getting older or just she's more fear. I think now I'm out of the house. You know, she accepted I quit college to be a comedian, and she said I gave her colitis. she didn't understand. Back when I did stand-up in like 78 or something, comedy wasn't what it is now where everyone, there's curriculums and colleges.
Right.
But back then it was like people like Milton Berle, hey, and I was a low-key depressed guy she was telling you would just lie in the bed face down. And I could understand how she could understand it. And she would say, you're going to get killed in a war. That's who they take people that don't go to college. Good for you. So it was more panic. Yeah, so she owned up to all these crazy things. So,
but the thing is about saying stuff like that to a kid, even a young adult or late adolescent kid, it cuts through you somehow.
Somehow
it gets in when your mom says it.
But the thing is, things she was saying in my recent trip to Florida may not be damaging, like you're no one wants you. I should have brought the hat to set up the story. A hat caused a lot of trouble.
What?
Well, basically, this thing, I woke up early. I was able to shower and, you know, whatever. But, you know, when you go to a house, you put a hat on. And I got a derby. I got it Slam Dance, Sundance. You know, I had a movie there. So she keeps going, why do you have to wear a hat? And she was ashamed to be seen with me. And there was a woman, Nancy. She kept saying, please tell him not to wear the hat, not to wear the hat. Oh, why does Freddie look silly? So in one way, you may say that's not damaging. But when I was a kid, a teenager, let's say I'd walk around barefoot. She goes, you're going to do that with a girl? Or if I'd wear a baseball hat, if you're with a girl, you're going to look like that?
Well, sort of castrating.
Well, yeah. It's more. So I didn't even know what I was doing wrong. So I thought my low self-esteem with women. Everything I do, like, Freddie, you drink a soda. You're going to do that with a girl? Not, so.
How do you get along with girls now?
I don't know. That's a whole other thing.
Idealize them? Do you de-idealize them? Are you nervous around them?
Yeah, I have this, well, low self-esteem.
Right. That's why I would think you might idealize other people.
Because, you know, if.
And you know, Corolla and I have low self-esteem, too.
Well, he has a nice house and a life.
But we've managed it. But there's an interesting thing about self-esteem is you really, the research shows you really can't change it.
But
you change how you deal with it.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, you can be okay with it. Like, you can laugh at it.
Well, sometimes I'm defensive. I think the fact I don't imitate a confident, cool guy means I have high self-esteem because I'm not imitating confident people.
Listen, it's high self-esteem people, I think they have certain liabilities because they don't change. Because they don't see that anything that goes wrong, is they minimize it and they see it as not related to them because they're okay. You and I... Everything's about.
But isn't it confident that I don't pretend to be confident, that I'm going, this is what it is?
What do the women say?
All different things. There was this woman, Larkin, I had a few dates with, and she's also an home. I'm sorry for going all over the place. I see you're a good host on your show where you contain it. You know how to bring it in. Back to the topic.
Not here. No, because we had an hour. We can talk about anything.
Oh, but basically, a lot of people in my book were upset that I was hurting my mother by saying truthful things. And it wasn't even that mean. It was just
truthful.
Comedic, silly.
And truthful, though.
Yes,
accurate.
Truthful.
Yeah.
And why? This woman, Larkin, was saying, you're a narcissist. You don't care how.
You go with the girl that said that to you?
Yeah.
Did you end the date?
I ended it, yes.
Or was she just too hot?
Well, no. I've done weird things where you know in the moment it's wrong, but there's a chance for sex.
Right.
So you stay with
That's
it.
That's a very male thing.
Yeah. But she was... calling me a narcissist. People are so protective of my mother who've never met her. Oh, she's sweet. How do you know?
Yeah, but
you're a nice guy.
But she was okay with it. I mean, she
Yes, that's the thing.
Yeah.
My sister was mad I went on your show. And my sister, she's a little shut off where I have a joke where I say me and my sister would have been closer if we had texting growing up because that's our only communication.
Now?
Yes.
Yeah.
She can't do a phone call, and I've called her, and I have a lot of other friends that are weird. Like, they'll only text you back. My sister can't say the word mom and dad. She's so shut off. It's Pearl and Mars. That.
Oh, really?
I can't say the word mom and dad. She's so shut off, separated, detached from everything. So she kept saying... So she goes, why did you do that to Pearl? Why did you put her on Dr. Drew? I go, she doesn't mind. She goes... my sister has this shame thing that Pearl isn't the brightest and you're making fun of her, you're mocking her. And I said,
well, let's straighten that out. I didn't experience that at all. I don't experience that from you. I would say that wasn't true of her experience. She was lovely.
Yeah. So
and that more bothers shames you than shamed her.
Yeah. And my sister was saying, Pearl doesn't understand being on Dr. Drew's show. I said she didn't care. And she goes, you're making fun. You make her look stupid. And so she kept texting. That's not me. And kept texting and everything and saying, what's it going on? And I had to lie.
What'd you say?
I said, she goes, when's it going to be on? When's it going to be on? I said, well, they edit a lot. Adam Kroll's really strict.
What?
And I made up things like it was an audition. And I don't know. I'm just saying nonsense because people older than me don't listen to podcasts so much. So none of my family cared. But she was this whole thing, you're exposing Pearl and it's a humiliation to my sister. And, this woman Larkin was saying, you're a narcissist.
Why did she say that?
Because she was saying... writing the book and telling real things about my mother, I don't care. Couldn't you wait till your mother died? You know, you're exposing her.
Who is this woman? Let's expose this woman.
We should call Larkin up.
No, you can't do that either.
My uncle started a big thing where he sent my mother the last chapter, which was a happy ending, where I was okay with my mother, said, only read this, the rest of the book will upset you, which made my mother go to therapy. And the therapist said, you got to, when Freddie visits, tell him the truth, things she feels guilty about. So that was my Florida trip.
And when you were down there, she went to the book signing, right?
Yeah, if you want to call it that. Drew, I've been in this business 30-something years,
yeah.
And I think I've run into every bullshit artist. I learned the biggest is publicist. I mean, if you're a celebrity like you or Adam, yes, you could get you on the Today Show because it's like it's Dr. Drew. He goes, oh, man, why aren't you on the Today Show? You should be on this. You should be on whatever. Joy Behar. He didn't even know Joy Behar is off. He goes, you give me $3,000, I get you on everything. He took the $3,000. Then, hey, and he shows. He goes, oh, the Boston Marathon bombing. It's tough. Oh, this Zimmerman trial. I go, yeah. But other people are pushing things. So the only thing he got me was a Spanish-speaking mall in Fort Lauderdale where I sat in the front, see if I could get a picture, and a little table with a few of my books. When people passed, I had to go, hey, I got a book. And my mother sat next to me.
Wow.
I was like a guy sitting out there selling vitamins.
Wow.
And then my mother, her friend was sitting with her, wanted to buy the book. My mother goes, don't buy it. It's not worth it. I'll give you mine.
You and Corolla, have you done the podcast with Corolla yet?
You know, I did with Alison Rosen.
Oh, yeah, because you have a lot of in common with
But we didn't get to it.
Well, you just listened to Adam talk, I'm sure.
He went on a rant, yeah. I said.
Adam went on a rant? Really? Like, gentlemen, can you believe that, Chris? That's a bad answer.
Where I was like in the background where all of a sudden he just – something, I'm guessing with Adam, where you could – be on target, but something takes him into a turn, and then it's, you know what I mean? I'm in the dust. Wait, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Believe me. But we'll do one with you and me one of these days. Me and Adam, and we'll do it, and we'll get you hooked in.
One last thing. Yeah. Well, I think what Adam's lucky, because someone made a point, Fred, you never learned overcompensation. Like someone like Adam or a short guy, I'm sure I'm going to show them. My mother said, there's no future for you. You're a nebbish. And I never learned overcompensation. I'll show those fuckers.
That's an interesting observation.
I just went with the thing.
Yeah. Well, hang on. Let's talk about that.
Like the late Drake Sather said that a lot of comedians, well, I don't want to get in trouble, Rob Schneider, Drake's, he goes out of short or successful because I'm a scrappy guy and show those bastards like...
it's a compensation.
Yes, I never learned how to compensate for everything I was told.
But in a strange way, you're compensating by...
owning up to it.
Being it in a bigger-than-life way.
That's good.
Right?
Yes.
You're it in
Well, you know what I did... You know what I did in a way? My sister was always – I embarrassed her. I always said my family was – I get the Munsters and the Addams family. The Munsters
is Fred Gwynn.
Yes, where it's a weird family. And Marilyn was the weird unexplained one, the normal one.
Yes.
I always said she was like Marilyn because we're all crazy. So she'd always
– Your sister was like Marilyn?
Yes, like unexplained normal and average. And she always hated that I said that. So – I she'd always go, you're embarrassing me, you act weird. And I think despite my sister, I'd act doubly weird.
Right,
you want to see retarded? So I overcompensated despite my sister by being a weirdo.
So you owe her something.
What?
You owe her a little bit.
I owe
bit,
her for being
know.
A weirdo guy,
no,
yes.
For honing your act.
But for life lessons
your
of
personality.
Being confident, I never learned overcompensation.
That's why I'm still curious about you and women and how that goes. How do you find dates?
The Larkin woman. Yeah. She. Sometimes women do this thing to me. They go... why do you always have to play the nebbish? It's embarrassing to me. And it was hard.
No, hold on. Somebody on your first date's going to say that?
Second date?
Well,
a lot of people. She goes, I've been listening. She goes, they do this thing now where they own up. They listen to every podcast I do and every YouTube video I put on where I'm being silly. They go, why do you perpetuate this thing? You're not a bad looking guy. And Drew, I get a lot of shit for this because, like, I never get on commercials because I'm a character and I act like a character, but you got to be – I look like Johnny Depp compared to the cattle call auditions. You got to look really – and they get – a lot of people give me shit like go, you're putting this thing on with women because you're not a bad looking guy. First of all, in high school, I was 130 pounds and 6'1", and it's harder being skinny for a guy than heavy for a woman. And
well, say
I
why.
Didn't lose – well, now maybe if I was a skinny guy in high school, I could be a goth guy, a brooding animator.
Right? Yeah,
yes,
you could have been really the interesting guy.
Now in high school, when I was in high school, I tried everything to gain weight. I would like eat Meatball Heroes and not go to the bathroom and stand on the scale because I asked. hair, talk about overcompensation. I asked out the ugliest woman who had frizzy, whitish hair and pockmark. She goes, maybe she gained 15 pounds. You're too skinny. So my
Stern always complains about this too. You know?
A confident guy would say, I'm going to go to the prettiest one. I thought if the homeliest one rejected me, they all would. Mm. So basically, I was a stick figure.
Do you date attractive women?
What?
Now, do you date attractive women?
I'm not really dating. I don't know.
Where do you find your date?
Well, this is the weird thing. I can't fantasize about hot women in Playboy because I can only fantasize, even masturbate, to women either I've been with from the past or where I know they like me. And I know the ones like me who have been with me, so I could re-remember that. So if someone's like in Playboy—
They castrate.
Like for example—
It demeans you to even be attracted to them.
Yeah, like I'm attracted to women that are attractive, but you think would not keep walking past
you
like
okay.
You're invisible.
Yeah.
But
that is really where your comedy lives. Right in that space.
I guess so.
Because that's actually funny. It's sad, but it's funny.
I'll say something about Sarah Silverman, who is so hot. But why people like her is that she's very hot, but she gives off this accessibility. Like, I'd be with a quirky guy like Fred. I know she wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? So, like, someone who, like, was Aisha Tyler or something is gorgeous, but she has that vibe like she would see through me or something, or you know what I mean? So I'm not I like people like weird people like a Vicki Lewis who I think because she looked at me once. I thought she was looking at me. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? I thought she was
Who's
staring
Vicki
at me.
Lewis?
She ended up living with Nick Nolte. I asked her out. It turned out she was living with Nick Nolte for 10 years. So yeah, you're going to go from living in Malibu to a house where the closet is the size of my, but a quirky redhead. So or six. Yeah. So I yes.
Yes.
Long-winded questions, meaning low self-esteem still.
But there's more than low self-esteem. There's a castrating quality to it too. That to even be attracted to somebody who might demean me makes me diminish. So I can't even look at you.
I can't even fantasize. I never could fantasize to
and
play
I'm sorry,
by women.
And this is an awful reaction. I feel guilty for having
it. No, laugh.
It's funny.
Yes.
It's extreme. Again, it's bigger than life in that space.
Well, that's why like porno in the 70s.
You know what it is? You remind me of like women you're the low self-esteem version of a male cross-dresser. Or if that makes sense.
But
you're exaggerating characters about your features but they sit in there she is there. It's Vicky.
Well, I don't. This is what I think about physical attraction. I think it stems to something in your childhood, like fiery redheads. Oh, no, and this is where I get in trouble.
What?
Well, women will go, you only like redheads. I like a lot of people, but something represents
something.
You can have
a zone. You can have a thing you like.
But this is the thing. I get a lot of women mad at me. Crazy stalkers on Facebook where they'll they'll say, you have a woman in Florida. You play up this nebbish. So not only do I not do well with women, I get people resenting me saying, you're putting this on.
Yeah.
Because I'm not awful. If I had a twin brother who was confident, I he would get laid a lot. But I think they go, you're putting this on because, you know, who was that on Facebook you were with? That was a woman who visited me.
But the point is, because it's so extreme, the low self-esteem and the never show, that's someone that's
It doesn't
not,
go with – some people say you're more attractive than you act.
But you're not – that, which is true, but
yes.
Because you act the way you do, you're not supposed to have any dates. And therefore, if you have any dates, you're really not all that you say you're cracked up to be. And again, I want to clarify
sure.
what I said about the cross-dressing.
I'll take that.
Well, but listen what I mean. Like women that – like porn stars and strippers,
yeah.
those I think of as female cross-dressers. Like they're taking their feminine form and exaggerating
it. Oh.
You know what I mean?
So I exaggerate the neuroses?
You exaggerate.
No, not
the neuroses, but certain moments in it, certain spots.
Yes.
Certain spots are – but it's real. I get that it's real, but it's big.
But it's like –
it's so big it becomes funny.
Well, like it's my book. Like, yes, my mother my whole life wasn't castrating and putting me down. Well, maybe she was. I never heard the words, I love you. I never heard those words from her. And I never – it's funny. A friend of mine brags he's never said anything negative to his kids. I don't think my mother said anything positive.
That's not good either.
Yeah, Bob Cabine. Sorry. I'm sorry. I outed
but
him.
Because life sends you negative things, and you got to get kids prepared to
manage something. Yeah, well, not like you can't do this or that. So
you don't drive them into the ground. You don't crush them.
No, but the thing is, Yes, my mother, not every day in my life has said these awful things, but it still mars you where I'm ready to flinch.
Right.
Like when I visited her in Florida, she wasn't saying awful things, but I'm in my head, I'm going, please shut up. Don't talk. Don't talk.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It's sad because any word out of her mouth, I'm going, I wish you weren't talking. And
well,
it could be just saying anything.
But it's that stuckness of the trauma of hearing all that back when it really did shatter you. And now it just sort of gets through in a way that it shouldn't.
Oh, but
go ahead.
Sorry.
What?
But then I'll have some, just because I say I'm lonely. Some women will go, I'll be with you. And they think I'm, I don't know.
Are you lonely?
I'm very, very isolated. But I know I'm a hypocrite because I say I'm isolated. I'll go out, see someone I know, and I'll hide. So, meaning.
You recreate the isolation even when you go out?
No. Meaning I want to be with someone, but not for the sake of it. I'm isolated, but I go, oh, there's that annoying guy. I'm going to pretend I don't see him.
Right.
Meaning I can't be with someone for the sake of it, or the warm body theory is what I, you know. So I could be with women, but they'll talk about their vegan cookbooks or some delusion. They're doing a demo reel where they get tackled, and that's good for their acting reel because they show they got tackled in their horror movies. And, you know, I'm saying, and I wish they wouldn't talk.
But you like redheads.
You know, I've outgrown it because I've heard crazy stories about Carol Kane. Oh,
you like redheads.
Yes, but it doesn't have to be. I'm not picky. I'm not like stern. Turn around. I have the magnifying glass.
No, I understand that.
They represent nurturing, artsy stuff because of people. You could call my mother. She'll tell you about Eva.
Well, let me talk about somebody else that's redheaded, Kathy Griffin.
Yes.
And as I mentioned, I think last time, the Anderson Cooper told me that the carpet matches the drapes. And she's a real redhead.
I thought of a bit about that, how just because he's gay – women will send him naked pictures.
Yes.
She wouldn't send.
Yes.
I thought maybe could I say, hey, I'm gay. Could I touch your breast? It has no meaning. You know, could I see you shower? I'm gay. You know.
It's your new strategy.
Yeah.
But Kathy spoke about you on Stern.
Yes. The thing was, it's humorous how I didn't preface it funny because, but no. I had a disastrous one-night stand with her where she asked to hit me in the face because she has hostility at men. And
She wanted to smack you or punch you?
I forgot. I think hit. She said hit.
Like in the middle of sex?
I think it was when we were lying around after sex.
After sex?
Yeah. She was fixated. She just saw a TV movie where a woman batters her husband, and she thought, I would like to batter men.
That would turn me on.
Yeah.
And was the sex aggressive? I heard an old interview with her that just aired recently.
She does like – she did want to be hit and she liked hitting.
Well, Kathy, is she a friend still?
No. I haven't been in touch with her, and it's nice that people – it's funny. The people who are saying will get mad about your book. I said things about Norm MacDonald. He asked me to be on his podcast. I want to say, Norm, I got to say I told about how you bullied me. You stole my jacket. I don't care. And my mother was sort of okay with stuff. And
we do live in a weird time when everything is sort of out there in print and media and public.
But the ones that I wouldn't think – one guy threatened a lawsuit.
Who?
I won't even say. He's so insignificant. Well, now he'll sue me if he hears that.
Oh.
And the ones that I didn't think I said anything bad about, a defamation, I'm going, I didn't respond. I think it's like you can't sue someone for a bad review. You know,
yeah.
I didn't say – so the ones I was nervous about.
You have to show intent. You were trying to harm somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. But Kathy – so I was nervous because I did say how she was annoying on the set of Suddenly Susan. She went on Stern.
Okay.
And,
let me just
– sure.
I am a friend of hers, and I am interested in Kathy and her career. And I always felt that she was very honest and open. And I listened to a recent – old interview that she did with Stern. I don't know if it's because she was up there. I didn't hear the one she did recently live.
Right.
I heard an old one where she was talking about how much she liked sex. She was saying that's the thing. Is that likes it.
The thing I said is it was nice because when I rang the bell, I said, where do you want to go? Eat a movie? She goes, I'm wet.
Oh, right. I remember this.
Maybe the bell. Maybe it's Pavlovian. And
for her.
A guy ringing a bell turns her on and got her wet. But no, she was – I wish all women were as forward and make it easy for me.
And so that's something you like. You like women. That's
I like to be bludgeoned, yes.
Yeah.
I – you know, when I was a virgin, I wasn't a virgin. I was a virgin until I was 21.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what you do. Like, do you go to someone's apartment and put your arm around them?
How do you negotiate? How do you close?
So I had to – It would take me an hour in the bar of the improv to muster up the energy, the courage to go. If we go there, what, Fred? What are you trying to say? We can have sex. I had to get a guarantee in the bar because I didn't know what you were supposed to do there. What was that about? Do you think fear rejection? But
this is your first episode, your first time?
My first few times of having sex, I had to.
Very, very bold of you.
No, it took me an hour to muster the energy because
most men could never do it. Most men are on a SEAL team operation. They're like they're trying to stealthily come in.
I didn't know what you were supposed to do, what moves you make, and I wanted a guarantee. I like guarantees. I wish I was psychic.
But that must have made it easier when you got home.
Well, most of them go, what? Well, I don't know. You don't do it that way.
Well, did any of them say yes?
One of them was pondering it, and she said, I don't know. And she goes, the fact you're a virgin turns me on. And because the first time I made my plea, I was. Then a few months later, I wasn't. So then when we went, I lied and pretended I was still a virgin.
I made my plea. And okay, did that work?
Well, I confessed to her 30 years later on Facebook.
I'm interested in once they agree, once they make a contract, is it really easy when you get to your house?
I don't do that anymore.
Right? I'm just curious how that went down. Can you remember?
I think this was the late 70s where things were easier. As Norm MacDonald, as I said, I remember before AIDS was invented. He goes, the worst invention ever by Gerald AIDS. You're old enough to remember when that was like a thing. I heard there's this thing. Let's not worry.
Well, I got involved with radio because of HIV and AIDS. And we actually didn't know about HIV yet. We didn't have a term AIDS. We were calling it GRIDS, gay-related intestinal disease syndrome. And I was working in a county hospital. And we were starting to call it AIDS. And I would sit down with people. I was a third year, fourth year medical student. I would sit down with somebody with their chest x-ray with their first episode of pneumocystis pneumonia. I'd put it up on the box and go, this is what this is.
Oh, my God.
You have 6 months to live. Wow. And I was never wrong. And so no one was talking about it. That's what compelled me to get on the radio to go, look, man, everyone was worried about herpes back then.
Yes. And someone said there's going to be.
Freaked out about it.
But didn't a lot of people like me thought the way we think now about bird flu? Oh, yeah, well, see, you're right.
About, you know, AIDS?
Yeah.
Herpes on the cover of Time magazine.
Yes.
Skin rash. And so people were like, I was like, no, people, don't, let's not worry about that. Worry about HPV and herpes and gonorrhea and syphilis. They're all still out there, but this is the one we need to concern ourselves with.
Yes.
And I just was pumping that out there, and that's how I got involved in radio.
Well, that's probably, yeah.
So tell me more about Kathy Said Live. We're going to take a quick – let's do this. Let's take a break. It is Fred Stoller, of course. FredStoller.net is his website. The book is Maybe We'll Have You Back. Twitter handle is @Fred_Stoller. We'll take a break and come back with the Kathy Griffin story in more detail. Okay.
Okay. Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks. They have more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals, for a free, that's right, free audiobook of your choice. Go to audiblepodcast.com/Drew. Hey, everybody, we love hearing from you, so please do keep sending tweets and comments. The podcast world creates the most, I think, useful and interesting social media content. People are very invested, and we read every one of these. Don't miss the chance to take our very important listener survey at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com. Of course, your responses will help us make the show the very best it can be. I'm planning some new stuff, and I want some feedback on what kinds of topics and things you'd like me to be participating in, guests you'd like me to get. Please, we'll read it. We'll try to make it happen. It'll only take about 3 minutes of your time, and you'll get the instant gratification that comes with knowing you have helped us out. You can tell us how you really feel about the show and help us to get to know you better. Please do it now. Take the survey at podcastone.com, podcastone.com, and, of course, keep those tweets and comments coming. Hey, everybody, you've heard Adam and I talk about Lumosity.com. And you know, you work hard to stay in shape physically, you eat right, you go to the gym. What about the brain? It's important to keep the brains healthy too. You can stay sharp and focused in work and everyday life with Lumosity.com. It's like a personal trainer for your brain. They give you quick daily online workouts, and it's based on the science of something called neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity is Lumosity.com's breakthrough. They have online games that give your brain the workout it needs. Be sharper, better problem solver, and of course, memory is improved. And these games and these exercises are personalized to meet your specific goals. I know I've continued to use Lumosity. They actually check in with you. They give you feedback. You have graphs to see how you've improved. Very fun. Start training with Lumosity.com today. Go to Lumosity.com and click on Start Training to begin for free. That is Lumosity.com, and tell them you heard it from me, Dr. Drew. Back with the great Fred Stoller. Maybe We'll Have You Back is the book. I suggest you get it. You can click through at the Amazon banner at DrDrew.com. Get this book. Can people, is there a way they can get it to you to sign it?
When is this going to be aired?
Because I'm Monday.
Oh, I'm doing Wednesday, a book signing at Book Soup in conversation with Tom Kenny, SpongeBob.
So that'll be the 20th, something like that. What's Wednesday? Look that up.
17th.
Wednesday, 17th.
So that
Tom
or,
Kenny is one of the greatest guys.
Yes, he is. He's a wealth of like trivia and crazy stuff. So we're going to talk about character actors. And I've been enjoying doing these things where I did one. I did a thing like Fred Stoll and the guest star is a comedy where other guest star actors like me. We told stories at Meltdown. And this may make me get back into stand-up. I haven't done it, but I don't like hanging out at comedy clubs vying for stage time. But I enjoy just talking more conversationally stories from my book and the crazy people. So,
Is the book selling well?
I don't go on Amazon because then I get depressed. It's sort of like, if you live by the numbers.
Amazon doesn't necessarily reflect real
sales. But it's getting really good reviews, good. USA Today. I didn't know there was a Jewish book festival circuit. And I'm going to be in Detroit and La Jolla and I think I forgot where, St. Louis. So I'm enjoying just talking about
it would be good to get you on a morning show if there was some way to do that. You just keep – it doesn't matter when. You know what I mean? That old traditional book sales stuff, they got to push it out now.
No, my thing is this sat in my computer for many years and the story I always tell is that a lot of publishers, they want gritty like Daryl Hammond in a straitjacket. I learned from my book some
Daryl
negative –
Daryl Hammond with his mom sticking a knife through his tongue.
Yes. I know it's a bad thing to read comments on Twitter, and I don't anymore.
Yeah.
But some of them would not criticize the book. They criticized me. He's a pussy. He's never been a regular. He's a whiner.
Nebbish. Twitter people go on it just to be horrible.
I know. But the thing I realize, like a guy like Heath Ledger – was just as neurotic as me that he had to take all that stuff, but he's gritty. You do drugs. You have sex addiction. You rehab.
Well, you know what the difference is?
Right.
This is oversimplistic, but on a fundamental level, he acted out his pain. You acted in.
But he's gritty and intense.
No, he acted out. You acted in. You take it out on yourself.
But I'm saying, it's like it's not romanticized. Like a lot of publishers, we like the woman who was in the loony bin or the actress.
Yeah, they like story.
Yeah.
There's no story.
I'm not gritty.
Feeling
because
shitty about yourself.
But still, I persevered. And so a lot of long-winded story they said, we wish there was more sex. I said, me too. And I tell them about Kathy Griffin.
Well, let's do that. Let's talk about Kathy.
So, but a long-winded story. So the book is evergreen because these stories, it's not like a time limit. Like I killed Bin Laden, got to go on the things. Or Trayvon Martin, my take if I was. Yeah, it's an evergreen book. So, okay, Kathy Griffin, I'm really pleased that she went on Howard Stern. And Stern was going, hey, who's this Fred? I actually didn't listen. I don't have satellite.
Wait a minute. I think I have Kathy's number. You want to try to get her? Would you mind?
Not at all.
Somebody run. Let me see if I can get it first. Go ahead. Tell the story.
So he called her back in. Who's this Fred Stoller guy? And he said, you said you were wet. And he was saying things from my book. And doesn't that get you mad? And he wouldn't buy that wasn't getting her mad. And everyone from Howard Stern to my sister to these crazy dates.
You weren't offending people. You weren't just hurting people by saying these things.
Yeah, and he wasn't buying.
Well,
that
this is interesting.
She wasn't. I must tell you, I get about it.
I obviously get stuck in the same crosshairs where people go, "You're exploiting these poor drug addicts." I say, please ask them. Please ask them
that's
how
a
they
good
felt
way
about
to look
their treatment.
At
if they felt – wouldn't they feel exploited if there was some exploitation?
Well, there was one guy that said, get the camera away from me.
Who was that?
Who died.
Mike?
Mike Starr.
Well, when they're agitated, irritable, yes, they will say get it away, and we try to create a space for them.
Right.
But they all afterwards feel like this was something extremely valuable for them. Every
right.
single one. And somebody the other day tweeted me and went, how about what Mary Carey said? I said, Mary Carey told me she wanted to spend the rest of her life in treatment with us. It's she was delightful and she got a lot out of it. Anyway, so people just say these things because I guess they feel like they would be diminished
well, yeah.
by it in some way.
Could I ask you a theory yeah. about why people don't like me because I'm a nebbish? Because I represent something like people are afraid of being afraid.
Yeah.
And you got to overcompensate. And what they think they haven't made it because they're not aggressive and stuff. And do you think that?
I think it's more that they – oh, really? You sure it was her? See, I gave Kathy Griffin's number to my – well, maybe if I call during a quick
break. She said,
break.
Fuck Fred Stoller.
What's that? Gary? Oh. Oh, you did?
Well, now she is mad at me?
I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Well, she probably said that asshole milking it. No, you brought it up.
I know.
Oh God.
Whatever. Well, she didn't know who picked up. She just knew what she didn't know it was and hung up. I got to change my number again.
Doesn't it say Dr. Drew?
No, he didn't use my phone. He used the phone here.
All right. Now I'm nervous again. Okay, I'll
but
just tell you.
Let me ask you the theory. The theory is, I think, because I get the same stuff. If people perceive weakness, they'll exploit it.
Yes.
Period. And so who doesn't get picked on? The bombastic narcissists who are actually assholes and would actually exploit somebody and who don't give a shit, they get a pass. And somebody who's like feeling like, oh my God, did I do that? Is it okay? I'm thinking it through. Is it? I'm always thinking about that stuff. You're an asshole.
Well, yeah, that's why in my book, like, I'm not complaining. I've persevered 30-something years. I just said this is what it's like. They go, this pussy, oh, Norm was a bully. He can't take it. Oh, you're not. People think it's interesting. I'm an idiot accentuating on the few trolls. Yes. But no, people.
They go after you, man. It's painful. The Twitter has given me some tougher skin because you look any hour of the day you'll find terrible things said about you.
But you know something, in a way, it's almost better because if I wrote an innocuous book like The Goomba's Guide to Cooking,
who cares?
The fact it hits a nerve almost shows resonates.
It's substantial. Yeah, there's something happening. Yes.
Yeah, and they relate to it. Like, I met this woman at a party and she said, oh, your book's depressing. I looked through with that childhood stuff. I go, yeah, it's a downer because I had
reminded
it like
her
that.
Of her stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
So it hits a nerve.
So is that it with Kathy? He just brought it up?
No. Basically, he brought it up and she said, if I saw Fred Stoller now, I'd hug him. She
Good.
Said that I'd thank him. I'm glad he talked about me. And I was very heartened, and I have utmost respect for Kathy for not going, oh, he had a little dick, or fuck him, or whatever.
Because you probably did it in a way where you were just being honest, and you cared about Kathy. You like her.
Yeah, and I said I was hurt. I was hurt because, I thought she could be like Vicki Lewis. No, I'm pointing to the picture that's not there. But
Did you like her at the time?
I think I did a little bit.
Did you get sucked? I mean, when you have sex with somebody, sometimes
sucked?
You,
what?
No. Sometimes when you have sex with somebody, you get sucked in. You go, you feel deeper. Did you have that kind of experience?
No. I just liked her seduction, and I liked that she reminded me of the fiery something from my childhood. And I talk too much because she's told people I had sex with Fred, like she told Brooke Shields, and the story I told you before, I was wet, but I couldn't – she didn't keep the wetness because with the condom. Mm. Like I said, I was pre-AIDS, so I was trained on not having to push with condoms.
Yeah, yeah. And then she wanted to punch you or slap you or something.
When we were lying around, she I think that maybe that was her agenda to begin with.
To hit. Did she ask you to hit?
No, she wanted to hit me.
But she didn't want you to hit her?
No.
No smack around of any type.
No, she just asked once. And no, I have TMJ ligament damage from an assault. And so she was understanding.
You were assaulted?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, in New York.
Back in the 70s?
No, like 83 or 84. I was walking down the street, not Broadway, coming home from a comedy club. And one.
Were you way downtown?
Not like Broadway in 83rd-ish.
Way uptown?
Yeah.
Moderately uptown, yeah.
Yeah. So this guy says, hey, you got a dollar? I said, no. And he takes out a knife. He goes, you better run. And it's weird. You know, you hear it, but you don't see knives up close a lot. So it was like a Woody Allen bit because where they're following me, and you know those islands in New York with the
yeah,
big
in the middle,
yeah. So like it's like Woody Allen. I like the idea of running, but cars are coming, so it's like a timeout. Like I will run, but you know I respect your request, but cars. So then the cars went away, and I walked, and my rationale, which was not accurate, was. If I run and they catch me, I'm doubly dead.
Then they'll really get you.
Yeah. So I figure just walk and flag a cab. Almost like provoking them, you know? So I got in the cab, whammed in my face with some metal, something other than that. And then there was like nerve damage in my face on
so
the side.
So they reach into the cab and smash that?
As I'm opening the door, bam, in the face. And it was really weird because years later, TMJ, and they found out ligament damage, like how an athlete will have arthritis not from a degenerative disease but from an injury.
Of course.
I have severe headaches and everything.
Clicking
so,
and stuff.
Clicking and all that stuff. And I remember a few things. The woman I was seeing, a redhead, she was so into her own world. She goes, well, maybe you provoked them. You know how you walk around in your own world sometime. She
was
wasn't
it one guy or a couple guys?
A woman, a few guys.
Ugh.
So she. I don't think this woman was glad I got punched, but she had her shit. She had to talk about a bad audition. So she kind of we rationalized like if someone gets killed in the news so we don't feel pain. Oh, he got murdered by someone, his friend, or it was a gang member. I think we do that because we don't want
to
feel
to
the
make
pain.
Make ourselves feel safe.
Yeah. So, Fred, you know how you walk around on your own world.
Yeah, you must have caused it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to believe the world is a place where random things happen.
Right, right. Oh. Or feel the hurt, the pain of it.
You mentioned Daryl Hammond. Do you know Daryl?
No, I don't. But that was the gritty book of being hauled to a stretcher to yeah.
Oh, he's.
I did meet him actually.
He's a great
times.
Guy. He's
yeah,
great,
I forgot.
Guy.
Real nice guy.
Amazing stories. Just
yes,
amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, if my book. Now I'm doing what Al Franken yelled at me. That's the second time you told me what you can't do. Well, my book doesn't have. It has some grittiness.
Fred Willard's party.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Nothing. I did a Vine with Joanne Worley and Isaac from the Love Boat.
At the
yeah.
I want to embed.
Fred, we'll put them on the episode
yeah. Fred's
page.
Got a bunch of amazing vines. I want to embed them on the episode page.
Yeah, I had. It's nice. It's weird. Fred Willard's party. It's a lot of like character actors. Alan Thicke. You know.
You're gonna show me the vine. Here it is. Oh, it's Joanne Worley. She looks great. She looks the same as she did on Laughing in 1968.
Hello. So she actually, at the other party, I told her, she gave me shit. She goes, why can't you just tell jokes? Got to bring the family down.
How old is she? She must be 80.
Yeah, well, she has black hair. That's...
But I mean, how is she so tuned in?
I don't know, but...
She's so tuned in. She's reading your book. She's
No. She knew about it. She didn't read it.
But still, that's pretty.
But she was giving me shit that I. Why can't you just tell jokes? Why do you got to bring the family down? People have this thing about the family, protect the family, the sacredness of even if someone did bad things. Like, why is that? The sacredness.
Let's ask your mom. Can we get mom?
Let's try.
Okay, we're gonna try. What's her name again?
Pearl.
Pearl's right. Your sister won't like it.
Yeah, but you know, it's she.
Let's
won't
build
know.
Pearl up. Let's not tear her down.
Okay.
Let's be really kind to her.
Okay.
Okay, and then
we
your
won't
sister
provoke
will be happy
her if
too.
She's there.
Okay, this will be interesting. Pearl.
Yes.
Hey, it's your son Fred and Dr. Drew again. How are you?
Who is this?
This is Dr. Drew.
Oh, you talk so low, it's hard to understand you.
I'm sorry. I'll try to speak up and get louder.
I think it was a good trip to Florida, don't you?
Yes and no.
Uh-oh. Why not?
Well, yesterday I had a driver. I'm glad we got it out of our system, but I still have a lot of side effects about it. I feel uncomfortable. One of my friends asked me for the book, and I didn't want to give it to her I didn't want her to. So that's how I feel. I don't want to share the book with people.
But did you read the book?
Of me and
of
him.
Hey, Pearl. Let me just say, as you know, we all have been parents, and we all, and our, then our kids all say stuff about us when we grow up. Fred is a great guy. You've given us this wonderful man. I want to thank you for that. A, B, you seem like a lovely person. I have nothing.
Yeah, but I made so many things.
But you were okay with it till a driver said something about the book.
No, he said to me, "Oh, you know, Freddie, I haven't read the book. I just can't handle it. The book is sitting here on the desk."
You don't have to read it.
I think I would say don't.
I think I said that bad.
If it upsets you, don't
read it. It just jokes about how you said it's almost over and compared me to Charlie, the retarded guy in the movie.
Yeah, but you see, so I'm living with that. You don't think I have a lot of guilt what I did and what I said to you? Even though we had it out. You said to me when you went to camp you felt better because I used to send you to school whether you were ill or not. You don't think that upsets me?
Hey, Pearl, I got to say, it's to again, Fred is an amazing guy.
She would argue.
Well, I would argue, too. To make you feel bad for to make any parent feel bad for how any of us are as an adult is just creating another victim. And that's sad to me. I don't think you should feel like that. I understand you do, and I understand that guilt is something hard to contain. But I would urge you to put that away, that
you don't have to read the book.
Well, not only that, you don't owe anybody any apologies or anything. It's hard raising kids. And, you know, kids, your daughter didn't take any of this away, right? Your daughter feels differently.
Well, wait.
There's something you said that I'm confused about. That with Cindy, you made it that you know, she was okay with me. You made up your mind there was going to be something wrong with me. You said because I reminded you of you, and you made up your mind I wouldn't be smart, and you resented me that I'm not smart because you felt you weren't smart.
But
I mean,
it wasn't your fault. It was all in my
decision. Why did you make up your mind there was going to be something wrong with me?
No, you were different. She was, don't forget, I had my mother then, and she was the first child. She was more outgoing. I saw myself in you.
And you resented, and you
no,
and
not
you
resent.
Didn't like
she, no, she,
but
did,
she didn't like herself.
She didn't like herself. She didn't want you to suffer with what she suffered with. And Pearl, let me just say something.
That's true. I didn't want him to suffer.
But if you don't like yourself, then you didn't like me because I reminded you of you.
No, she didn't want you to have those qualities that she saw.
Right.
And so, Pearl, did your mom tell you? You strike me as a very intelligent woman. So
well,
who told
I'm really
you?
Really not. And no, I was going to write him in my will that I wish I was smarter. See, I live with this.
You're
going to
write
life.
In your will you wish you were smarter?
Yeah.
Did your mom tell you you weren't smart? Is that where you got those messages?
No.
Where'd you get those messages?
Well, I think I mentioned it to you. My mother didn't. Well, my mother idolized her sister.
There you
whatever
go.
Her sister said, she did. Anyway,
yeah.
We didn't. I think. How do I put this? We lived a distance from my mother's sister, my aunt, and my mother would send me to school. Not all the time. She had another daughter.
Yeah.
So as a result, I was left back in the first grade,
Listen,
and that was the beginning
Pearl,
of the end.
Respectfully, your mother is wrong.
But I always felt different, Mike.
So that's why she said to me, "School goes on whether you're there or not," and that was the joke.
But she compensated. You know what I mean? You didn't. You never compensated for stuff. She compensated by trying to push it on you, and it went a little too far. Oh, Pearl, listen.
Very bad. Very
Pearl,
bad.
No, not very bad, Pearl. Not very bad.
I'm not mad or anything. Well, I was going to bring the hat. You kept saying to Nancy, why does Freddie have to wear that hat? Why were you so upset about the hat?
You know, I guess I should have kept quiet. I guess I didn't think you looked good in the hat, even the fellow that you brought here, like, indicated. But nobody wanted to say anything.
No, he didn't. No one said anything about the hat.
You know what? In the future, I would urge you just to be direct with him.
The hat's a nice hat that I got for free. But you kept saying, please tell him not to wear the hat. The hat looks silly. It's a nice cap.
But what if he said, what if she said, I don't like how you look in that hat? What if she said that?
Well, why not? I guess
be more direct.
The
right?
problem is I have a shame issue. Like, always, Freddie, you look silly. Freddie, your hair's messy. You know, like a shame. Like, there's something wrong with me for wearing a hat.
But there isn't. You know, look how proud. And, you know, I called up Uncle Milton and I told him everything.
What'd you say?
you know, I told him that I spoke with you, and, you know, I told him every, you know.
I'm not mad at him.
What?
I'm not. He's the one who only sent her the last chapter. And what did he say?
Well, he understood. He's a very understanding person. And he also said to me that the book isn't only about me, it's about you.
Right, of course.
Yes.
That's what I hope the listeners out there take away.
Pearl, that
it's fun. Matt LeBlanc, Norm MacDonald, quirky stuff.
Pearl, I'm going to let you go, but I want you to know
but
that...
But do you understand my point?
Yes. What's your point?
You know, I
yes.
There's somebody in the building that we used to go out with, and he bought the book, and I'm ashamed to face him because he'll think poorly of me.
I don't think so. Anybody listening to you now, in fact, is there a way people can, like, write letters of support to her or anything?
I wish you had the internet. You don't know how to do the internet, huh?
No.
Because you learn how to do a CD?
I have everything of your father's here, but I don't think I'm smart enough.
No, stop that, Pearl. I'm not going to let you say that. That's nonsense. I can tell by the way you express yourself and the way you think you're smart. Please, stop
that.
Yeah,
but this, I may have common sense,
you're
but I
smart.
Don't have, like, intellectual.
Maybe you missed your education because somebody told you you weren't smart. There's a lot of people like that. That doesn't mean you're not smart.
But no, you read books a lot.
Yes, you're clearly smart. But, like, McFred, what if people sent you letters? Could you pass them on to her?
Absolutely.
Okay, Pearl?
I think I fool people.
No, stop. You're stuck back in first grade. You're not in first grade anymore. You've graduated. You're doing fine. But
that
listen.
Was the road. And, you know, I used to look at my husband, and I used to say, he's so creative, so talented. What did he see in me?
Oh, Pearl.
All these years, you know.
Pearl, honey.
Well, look, I think it was a good trip to Florida. Don't worry about the side effects. We went out, got chicken, and we talked to the funny guy, and, you know, who wasn't afraid of lightning. And,
and look, I didn't want Miriam to buy the book because I didn't want her to think poorly of you or
me. Oh, that's – I thought – oh, you didn't want her to buy the book, I thought, because you were trying to save her money. It's because
– That was an excuse. That was an excuse. That was a front.
Pearl.
So you're smart. You do fronts. You put on cons. You are smart. You don't know how to look. No intellectual stuff.
And
you can't all be Greg Proops.
You know, I'm
that
ready
nonsense.
To say goodbye soon. But the thing is, I just feel bad. You know what has occurred.
Pearl, here's what I want to do. I want to encourage people that are listening to us today to write you letters of support of how they experience you in the book, so you can get some sense of how positive this all is, okay?
And wait, let me just say one last thing.
And I'm going to send them to you, and you got to send them
out
of here.
But I just want to say, Ma, I said positive things, how you always laugh when a monkey came on TV. Said, Freddie, a monkey. We had fun, and you bought me Puma sneakers. I'm from that generation where it went from Converse to $40
Puma.
Sneakers.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Remember you didn't understand sneakers, and you bought me the sneakers.
Yeah.
Big deal.
It is a big deal. All right, here's the deal. Pearl, I'm going to let you go, and then we're going to figure out how I can get you some letters of how people experience. I think you'll be very pleased.
Yeah,
okay?
you're not a villain in the book.
I appreciate, you know, that this is more in the open than it hadn't been.
It's more in the open.
I appreciate that.
And, my dear, you needn't be ashamed. You needn't feel guilty. And I'm going to finish with this. Thank you for giving us Freddie, okay?
Oh,
okay.
One thing
thank
she
you.
May
okay,
say about bye. Adam Carolla, she learned a lesson about conservatives.
From him?
No, from Joel's brother, that they could be nice, right?
Oh, yes. Of course.
So a friend's brother was conservative.
All right, Pearl.
And
we'll talk to you again.
Nice.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
So where can they send letters? Let's figure out a place they can send stuff in. And you send it on to her. Because I think it would really help her to see that people don't villainize her and appreciate the complexities of being a parent and, you know.
On my Facebook, Fred Stoller at just Fred Stoller Facebook.
Stoller.
Yeah.
And what, they have to write it on a post?
I guess, so they could send a message. Yeah. And you Facebook people, as long as it doesn't get crazy, I read messages. But
okay, and then you'll send them on to her. You'll print them and send them to her.
I have to print it. She doesn't know how
to
do email.
Yeah, print them and send them to her. So, guys, give a little paragraph. Don't give long 30 pages.
If you read the book, say that she came up warm and funny. Like you were saying before, Drew, everything isn't awful when you say I accentuate my weirdness. In the book, you make it colorful. I didn't say there was a time she bought me a walkie-talkie. Well, actually, it was because my father – was a quiet alcoholic. And one time she hid the alcohol and he tore the whole place apart and they felt bad and bought me a walkie-talkie. So that wasn't a good story. But there was something good. I'll think of it.
But it's not – you don't accentuate your weirdness. You accentuate these spots. There are these moments that become bigger than life.
Well, what I think what if I had – you know what?
And they're very human moments.
You know, look, if my mother's off the phone, but the good stuff is she I root for the underdog very – you know, sensitive, where I'm not like, oh, good for Trayvon Martin, you know, whatever. It's a bad example. No, so she's really real sensitivity, so there's good stuff. So,
but you know what? So many, I would dare say, listen, in this country today, people would love to have been the subject of the kind of abuse that you were the subject of, opposed to the shit that happens to kids every day.
But I think mixed messages fuck up a kid more, because if I was hit or beaten up
in a certain way, you'd be acting it. You'd be Kurt Cobain, then you'd be acting stuff out.
Yeah, but I get laid more because I'd be overcompensating with tattoos and be gritty. And
so you're jealous of people that get more pain.
No, because they're more lauded. Because good for you.
What's the story?
Yeah.
What is the truth? What was the truth that she?
Well, actually, just about that. She resents in me herself.
So just like she said here.
Yeah. So basically, she went on this whole litany of everything. She had sex with her. I was conceived after her mother died, and she felt guilty for having sexual relations after her mother died, and I reminded her of that.
Oh.
So she resented.
There's a deep issue there, too.
Yeah. I reminded her of the shame.
A lot of shit with she and her mom. A lot of shit.
Yeah, a lot of shame.
Was that mom from the old country?
I think born in this country, or maybe Poland. I know really nothing. I never had a grandmother. So,
but did she have all that old country craziness?
I guess so. But
I mean, the World War probably rolled over them and stuff.
Yeah, it's a whole spiral of shame. My sister's ashamed that I make my mother look stupid. My mother, she thinks she is, and
she's
I remind
not.
Her of her, and she made up.
You clearly are not. So, you know,
but she, I remind her of her, and you know that's why in my book. I talk about how I quit college to be a comedian. She freaked out. When I was a kid, school
right,
goes on, whether you're there or not.
Education was a big thing to her because she didn't want you to suffer with feelings of inadequacy that she had.
I used to do the joke, I quit college. When you're gonna, what's the degree for? You'll be able to say you're a college graduate. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not able to say it now. Like, you'll go, I'm a Kagagagawit. So basically, whole shame thing. And I reminded her of her, and I reminded her of this awful thing she did, having sexual relations, as she puts it, after her mother died. So, yeah. So it's a whole shame of everything. Wearing a hat, you know, anything. Why didn't you shave? You know. And
I'm not sure shame is the right emotion. Even it's something a little different. There's guilt for sure.
But like I feel ashamed, Drew, that you know I'm not married. I just live in an apartment. I don't have a second bedroom. Well, she brought that up in me. When I was living in Manhattan, she needed the bathroom and she wouldn't want to see how I lived. Mm. So I had to take her up like she was blind and lead her to the bathroom so she wouldn't see my apartment.
Like a terrorist. Bandana around her eyes.
Yeah, what's it called? The safe place? Or the
safe room?
Yeah, yeah.
Safe house?
So she wanted my bathroom, but she couldn't see how I lived. So I have this shame that I'm losing.
Here's what I come out of today's conversation with. You need to start overcompensating.
You mean go, I'm a badass.
You need to start dating uber beautiful women. You need to start demanding more money for these guest spots. You need to show up more on everyone's Twitter.
Could I be on Loveline?
Yeah, of course.
All right. I was feeling being nervy, being pushing it.
Hell yeah. I'd love you on
that. Okay. I was feeling – Fred, you pushed it. You annoyed him.
You're welcome in anything I do. HLN, we're not doing celebrity stuff right now, but you would have been.
This is because like my mother is fixated on my father because he was so quiet. I feel shame – again, made up of the word – when I put a post on Facebook, look at my book, like because my dad – I looked at them because he was so modest. He never trumpeted anything. All the Stoller brothers were mensches and quiet.
Yeah.
The other side of the family, crazy. So I just feel like shameful if I go, hey, look
that's
at
me.
My book.
Yeah, it's
that
me.
I'm being nervy.
I know. I understand that. But hey, everybody, read his damn book.
Yeah.
Or support Fred Stoller.
And send a letter saying she wasn't so bad in the book.
Send the letter to the Facebook. Again, it's just look up Fred Stoller on Facebook.
Yeah.
S-T-O-L-L-E-R.
We'll have the link to his Facebook on the episode
page.
And
we're going to put some vines up of Pearl so you can see what she's really all about.
What the hell about shame? Yeah, basically, Wow. So this is that's really weird that she was afraid for her friend to read the book because it was stuff about her.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought because she didn't want her to spend the money. That was my front.
Well, but everything that goes on between you and she has a motivation that's hidden, it seems like.
Wow.
And so you have to kind of look at it from her perspective all the time, and it's hard. It's hard to do that. It's all her shit with her mom.
That will never go away.
A generational transmission of trauma, it just goes on and on. Now, when you have a kid, you're not going to do that.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to have a kid.
No?
I'm old. I don't want to be – I think Marc Maron does the jokes about the 70-year-old dad going to his high school. But I hate to make it about money. And
well, it's sort of not fair to the kids too. You have a 80-year-old dad,
and you hate to make it about money, but come on, Ben Stiller with three nannies, you know, if I go to my grave not having kids, it's not a wasted life.
You'll be okay.
Yeah,
I agree with that. Fred Stoller, maybe we'll have you back. Get that damn book right now at the Amazon banner.
Oh,
go
wow.
Write him at the Facebook.
You bring out stuff in her. That was amazing.
Fred Stoller, she's lovely. And I hope your sister's feeling better.
All right. You know, you got to get to a point where you got to go get over it.
To your sister?
Your sister.
Yeah, well, but she's saying the same thing to you.
No, she's not. She doesn't want me to shame Pearl. Exploit her.
I don't think you did. That's certainly not your intention.
Actually, it was enlightening to me that...
All right, Fred, thank you. If you demand him back again, I'll bring him back again. We'll see what Twitter says about that, and they'll try to get you up on Loveline in the meantime.
And now I'm being my mother. I'm being negative. We didn't get any calls.
And
no one likes us.
No, we got calls. I just didn't have time to take them. We'll see y'all next time.
Thank you.
Now that we finish the show, I want you not to forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus and start watching your favorite hit TV shows right now. Any shows are available there for free with your extended free trial. All you got to do is go to HuluPlus.com/Drew. It's a pretty exciting deal, you guys. I think it's just very exciting. I think you should do it. Go to HuluPlus.com/Drew or go to DrDrew.com and click on the Hulu Plus banner and get started right now.
This is Corolla Digital.